God is surely good. Amen.
Amen.
Woo. Tell you, I had a real interesting start to my day. You know, no power, a tree down. I live on a dead end. I hate to call it a dead end. Is there something else that I can call it that's not negative? It's a cul-de-sac? Okay, I live on a cul-de-sac. And there's no exit if a tree comes down on the road, and that was the case this morning. But fortunately, a bunch of neighbors down the road decided to take it upon themselves instead of waiting the 2.5 to 3 weeks that the town would eventually get to it. I came here, and there was no power in my house. It was a little bit cold. I had noticed that on, you know, aren't Blackberries and Droids and, you know, the iPads all very interesting, that you can get information. I said interesting. I didn't say good or bad. Because sometimes the information you get is good and sometimes it's not. And I saw that 50% of the Central Hudson customers were out of power this morning. And I noticed that actually Dutchess County was a lot worse. They were about almost 70% out of power. So Ulster County was only about one-third out of power. So, we're a blessing here.
Amen.
Unless, of course, you live in Dutchess County and then... And mornings like that, Diane is in North Carolina at a Morning Star Ministries, Rick Joyner, ministry conference. And so this morning was just kind of very, very different and just a little tense because I was out at 6:30 this morning. I was attempting to make it here for the KLC, which I unfortunately couldn't make because of the downed tree. And I realized that I just have to settle my heart in the Lord. I mean, how many of you know that? That when you get in a place where your mind is running a million miles an hour and it's causing you not necessarily fear, but just concern and you're stressed and tension, you realize that tension isn't of God.
Amen.
You got to do something about it. Well, for myself, I found that, you know, it's very helpful for me to have a helpmate who loves to pray, but she wasn't there this morning. You hear where I'm going on this? And so I know that I can enter in personally into the throne room of grace, but I've gotten used to having others surrounding me to help me into that place. And so I got here this morning, and I was still kind of in that wound mode. And ministry starts, and within seconds, Tony comes over, and he just starts praying for a refreshment upon my life. Well, can somebody tell me who told him that I was a little bit on the tense side? The Spirit of God. And then I started realizing, I started thinking, the Lord is real. I placed a demand this morning on the Lord. I said, Lord, you're going to have to work some things out because there's a whole lot of things in my life that I don't have the answers for right now, and they're causing a bit of stress. And all of a sudden, I just started watching this morning the Lord deal with every single one. Then I'm thinking about my ministry time. I had promised them sheets on a teaching I'm going to be giving or I gave this past Tuesday, and I was going to be bringing a test for that teaching that I gave on Tuesday, and I was going to use it this morning. And I just remembered I'd never got it from, you know, whoever was going to be running it off. And I also had a dream this past week about three people in the congregation, and I wanted to speak to them today. And I looked around, and the couple that I had a dream about weren't in the congregation. So I figured, I guess I won't have a chance to speak to them because they'll be leaving before the end of the service. And so I started to head downstairs during the praise and worship to see if the sheets were laid down. And as I was walking out, I saw the person that I had the dream about, and the person that had the sheets was walking up the steps with them. Now, don't tell me that isn't God, because I'm going to tell you right now, God cares for me, and he cares for each and every one of you. Do you believe it? Now, this morning, I placed a demand on God. I said, God, I'm coming in, and I'm coming in with boldness into the throne room of grace. And I'm not going to stop until I get my answer. Is that scriptural? Of course it is. Everybody go, of course it is. Come on. Of course it is. It says, come boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in a time of need. So now we're in the middle of praise and worship. And something interesting happens. Gary comes up and has a word up here. And does it have to be in the prophetic, you know, first person tense in order to be a prophetic word? Come on, you got to be more affirmative. I was ordained into a Baptist. I'm an ordained Baptist preacher. You got to start responding to me. Come on, amen, brother. Maybe snowy outside, but it's going to be crazy in here, okay? All right, now here's the deal. Does it have to be in first person tense in order to be a word from God into our midst? No. I do truly believe that what Gary spoke to us, the gateway is now open, referring to what Jesus did that allows us into his presence to receive mercy and grace in a time of need. Then he used these words, and I wrote them down only because sometimes I'll go, oh, I'm going to remember to say that. And so I had to write it on my hand. So I hope you don't mind. If I raise my hand in praise, you'll know what these markings are. And it says, it's on you. You use those own words. The door is open. Now it's on you. I don't know, and I can't judge what people did in their hearts, but there was no response that I could see physically to that word. So, do you think it would be on me to give you a second chance today? Yeah. Well, you'll have another opportunity. And the reason why is Gary didn't know. Well, these are my notes, by the way, for today. But the title of it is
Placing a Demand.
And that would be placing a demand on the anointing. Again, I'm going to ask you the question. Do you think it's scriptural to place a demand on the anointing? Yes, it is. You see many, many places in Scripture where people will stand there and just say, I'm going to stand here until I get it. I also had an opportunity to speak to another brother when I received those sheets for the ministry at Chuangang today. And the brother used these words, I'm going to stand. And it made me stand to attention, realizing again and again that the first step in placing a demand on the anointing, in other words, just standing there knowing that God has a covenant with us that he wants us to access. He would not have sacrificed his life unless he freely gave it from that point on. It wouldn't be a fair God if he said, well, come into my presence. Come in with what? And confidence. Come in with boldness and confidence and receive mercy in what? A time of need. Is there anybody in the room? There might not be anybody, but is there anybody in the room that might have a need in their life today? There's still some people not responding. I don't know why. Yeah.
I had my hand up.
Well, you see, the point is, God wants us to. He commands us to. He says, come in with confidence and boldness to receive that mercy in a time of need. And so today, I'm just going to share with you a few scriptures that show you that there is a need for you to just kind of stand up. I'm going to stand and stand there for. That's what the word says. To stand and stand there for. Against what? What must we stand against? The wiles of who? The devil or the evil one. We got to stand and stand there for. He said it twice in terms of standing. And then at that point, you need to place a demand.
Amen.
I'm going to just tell you right now that there are times in my life when I've gotten to the place where I had no other answer, where I stood or I reached out to the Lord like the woman with the issue of blood.
Yes, sir.
And I mean, I just kept pressing in and I just said, I'm going to get my answer. That's the way it was when my son got into a gang. I was in Coxsackie doing a Kairos weekend, and my son decides to get jumped into the gang. I got a telephone call at 2 o'clock in the morning saying that they used razor blades on him. You see, the point is, in order to get into a gang, really a real gang, is that you need to either commit a felony or have a felony committed against you. He chose the latter, and I get this telephone call that they used razor blades on him and that he was jumped into a gang. Well, let me tell you, the first reaction was that I was angry with God. Is that a bad thing? It's not a bad thing as long as that position changes quickly to an understanding that it wasn't God that caused this difficulty and that he is your only way out. And at that point, I remember a word that my son, that I was given concerning my word, that he would be a mighty warrior. And I just stood there. And by the next morning, I was just declaring over my son, mighty warrior, mighty warrior. I mean, he had gotten, just prior to that, a Chinese tattoo. And it was interesting because Diane never spoke that over our son. There's a time when you have a prophetic word for somebody, but you don't speak it until God tells you to speak it over that person. Because once you do, once you put that into the airwaves, there's going to be attack of the enemy. And if the person isn't walking with the Lord, there's sometimes that word, you know, you could hinder that word from coming forth because you've already spoken it into the airwaves. Satan can't read your mind, can he? And so I knew my son not only would be a mighty warrior, but he will be a mighty warrior for Christ.
Amen.
My son had given his heart to the Lord, and he was walking in the power of God. I mean, he would pray for people and they would get healed. He was baptized, and he understood fully what the term baptism meant. And he was walking and talking his faith. He would pray for people. When friends of ours would tell us their problems, he would immediately offer to pray. He would almost immediately offer to pray before Diane and I would. And so I know in my heart that even though he's turned away from God, that God was going to honor the mighty warrior aspect.
Yes.
Not only in reality, and that means in his life. You understand he's a U.S. Marine and he's a police officer, but also a mighty warrior in Christ.
Amen.
Can you just say, I agree with you on that?
I agree.
Because although he's turned away, he's coming back and he's going to be used by God in a powerful way. I do believe it. And so he has this Chinese tattoo on his arm. And, you know, I'm teasing with him. I'm going, do you really know what that says? I mean, it could say, Josh, you know, I'm an idiot. I mean, how do you know what it says? He goes, no, Dad. It says warrior. I started to wobble. So this particular son who had gotten into the gang, I had to stand there for. Took 1 year, but God's miracle. You don't get out of a gang. You may get in the gang with razor blades, but you'll get out in a box. Or you won't get out in one piece. He got out without a single problem. It wasn't because of anything, but Diana and I stood firm, placed a demand on the anointing. We stood in the same way David stood when he spoke to Saul about Goliath. When Saul said, You're too small and you're too young and you're not capable to go up against that giant. And David's response, in addition to saying, hey, look, you know, I wrestled with a lion and I won. Besides saying that, David said, I have a covenant with God and Goliath doesn't. Who do you think is going to win? Of course, that's Caliendo paraphrase, but that's what I said to God when I heard that my son was in the gang. It's like, I've got a covenant with God and that gang doesn't. I don't know who's going to win. But I do know this. In the end, the Lord's going to have his victory. And over the span of time, I do not have the time today because I have other things I need to speak to you. Diana and I actually literally prayed on the curb. We were praying out loud. And this was like in March when it was still cold and we rolled the windows down and we were praying out loud for actually the names of the gang members as they were hurling insults and threats to us. I had to fight my mental situation because most gang members won't hurt a guy's mom, but they'll take a guy's dad and take him apart piece by piece. And so when they threatened me, it was... One day, I literally said these words to a gang member as he's like right here threatening me. And I'm like, what are you going to do? You're going to kill me and put me in the hands of God immediately? I go, go ahead. And I'm like, have you ever done that when you know the anointing of the Lord is on you? I mean, don't tell me your mouth hasn't spoke before your mind has thought about it. Come on, you do it in the negative all the time. I happen to be doing it in the Lord. And when it came out of my mouth, I knew it was from God, but I'm going, woo, what am I saying? But what I was saying was a reality. Look, even if you kill me, you're going to send me straight to heaven. I said, that's a pretty good deal. I said, do what you want. And he backed off. He just took a step away from me. All of a sudden, the anointing must have been upon me. Do you think it's going to take faith to be able to step out in that way?
Yes.
Do you think it's going to take brothers and sisters that surround you and are covering with you in prayer to stay strong? Here's the first commercial, guys. Small groups are necessary for you to be in, to be a on fire believing Christian. Now, you see, it says, my believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Amen.
I've seen a lot of church-going Christians that love Jesus with all their heart, 100%, but never get to do anything for the Lord, not because they don't love Christ, it's because they're not tied in to the power source. And that is, the power source is the Holy Spirit, but it's almost always received in groups first. And then from there, it goes out. I'm going to say it again. It's in groups, and it goes from there out. And that's where Diane and I have found some of the most truly amazing miracles of God. On days that the group had 30 people, we were blessed by the numbers, and we just worshiped God, and God moved in our midst. But I think some of the almost most awesome times that we've had are when there's been 4 or 5 people in the group and we prayed very strongly, placing a demand on the anointing and watching God immediately move in our midst. Now, I'm saying immediately because I'm not talking about healing, which happens often, but I'm talking about miracles. Miracles of God. Now, placing a demand on the anointing, you see in Luke 6:18, please don't turn to it. It just simply says, the multitudes sought to touch him. The multitudes sought to touch him. They were reaching out to just get a little part of what Jesus had to offer. In Jeremiah 29, it says, you will seek me and find me. Jeremiah 33:3 is God's telephone number. Yeah, 33:3, call on me and I will answer you. But you have to place a demand on the anointing.
Yeah.
You have to, it's on you. Gary said it, it's on you. You've got to put, you receive not because. Am I encouraging you here to just kind of, I'm not going to sure if I'm going to use the word get backbone. But do you understand what I'm saying here? Is to, there's a position that you can go to God like this, and there are times when you simply need to do that. Because sin is a hindrance to prayer. Our flesh is a hindrance to prayer. Anything that is not of faith is sin. And sometimes we need to have to go to the Lord with bowed head to get ourselves right before Him just prior going into the throne room of grace. It says about communion. Examine yourself. And so there is a time. And so that's the next thing I like to say about this service is that when people didn't rush forward, when Gary said it's on you, I said to myself, there's something, there's either flesh or sin or something that's preventing people in this group. And that was a prophetic word of the Lord. And then when Wendy came up, she spoke and she prayed for all of us to ask forgiveness. And I'm saying, thank you, Lord. There's a place where we must say, Lord, I've blown it. You said in your word that if, you know, that anything that is not of faith is sin, then therefore I must be in sin. And so I repent for not totally trusting you. Can you say that after me? I ask for your forgiveness, Lord. Because you said anything that is not of faith is sin. Father, I repent for not trusting you totally. In Jesus' name. Amen. And at this point, we all now, those of you that have prayed that prayer, can now enter in completely into the throne room of grace with nothing hindering. Is that true? It's by His precious blood that you can enter in. He washes your sins. He takes your sins and throws them as far as the east is from the west and enters them no more. You see, the woman, even with the issue of the blood, wasn't even clean. She was considered unclean and could be stoned to death. She could have been stoned to death because the high priest was standing right near Jesus, Jairus. Now, Jairus came to Jesus and said, look, there's healing necessary. And Jesus said, well, let's go. When the centurion came to Jesus, what did the centurion say? A man under authority. Jesus said, ooh, you're a man under authority. You don't want me to go and heal a person? And the centurion said, no, no, no. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus is like, whoa, I haven't seen this kind of faith. And all my people, it's been done. And so what we need to do is understand that even in your mind, when after you've repented, if you're still feeling insignificant, if you're still feeling like not worthy to enter into His presence, you got to press in and stand, and you have to come in boldly. You got to battle. Because the battle is where? Absolutely, 100%. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to pulling down of strongholds. The strongholds are in your mind. Amen. Understand this, that if I fully trusted and believed that I could walk as Jesus walked on this earth, my life would be different than it is now. Shake your head, yes. That goes for all of us. How many of you want to get closer to that ideal? Tomorrow, be there tomorrow, closer than you are today. Now, here's why I need a response. You need to respond to this. I want to be more like Jesus. You got to place a demand on the anointing then. You got to be willing to take some chances now, too. Pastor Vaughn is constantly sharing that with us. It's time to change. If what you've been doing over and over and over again for the last who knows when is not working for you, then do something different. I mean, when a crippled man was needed to be brought to Jesus and the crowds were so thick that they couldn't get to Jesus, what did they do? They climbed up on the roof and cut a hole in the roof and lowered the man down. And the man was healed. I'm telling you right now, the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus and said, my daughter is sick. Okay? My daughter is sick. She said, my daughter is sick. And then she said it again. And Jesus didn't even respond to her. He was ignoring her. And then it's like, and then he said, well, it's not right to do this for you. And her response was placing a demand on the anointing. She said, even the dogs get the crumbs.
That's right. Come on, bro. Come on.
There's sometimes when the spirit of the living God needs to rise up within you to access what you need in your life. But it won't come without invitation. It won't come without struggle. And it won't come without you having to force your flesh to do something that your mind is going, don't even bother. Zacchaeus, all he wanted to do was see what was happening. And so he placed a demand by climbing a tree. He was a short man. And he couldn't see over the crowd. I can relate to that. I'm glad you didn't amen it, though. Thank you, Jesus. He climbed the tree. He was placing a demand by taking a step.
Yes.
The word of the Lord for you today, it's on you.
Amen.
Did you hear it when it was spoken the first time? Are you hearing it now? It's on you. So he climbed this tree, and Jesus walked right over to that tree, and not only did he address the situation, but he called that man by name, not knowing who he was. Now, I've seen this on two occasions where Diane has gone into a prison, and there was no identification on the person, and she called the person by name. Do you think it's possible to walk as Jesus walked on this earth? Do you think that Diane, who is a very quiet person, a very shy person, she does not like to socialize, if you've noticed, she doesn't really socialize down in the cafe. She'd rather be up here just having words for people, which she's done in the prison, which she's actually gone around, and every single person has gotten a personal word to the point where people then stop coming to the meeting until they're told, look, she's not reading your mind. She's not reading your mail. She just has a word of the Lord for the time. And they go, well, we don't even want that. It's like, and we have to express to them, look, God is not going to reveal something that's going to cause, you know. And if it is ever done that way, it's always done in private. There will be nothing. I mean, it will be edifying to you to come. And so Diane just does not like to socialize. But she always seems to have the right word for somebody when she's praying for somebody. And she has to force herself to do that. Even though she's been successful at it for years and years and years now, and has discerning words for people, she has to rely on the anointing today. She has to trust God today. And she says, there's a fear today that tries to prevent me from doing this. But I've seen and heard God's perfect will being done in my life that I force myself through that. And the moment I step, take one step, a step of faith, take one step, place that demand on the anointing, and bam, the Lord does something. You can't be sitting just expecting the people or leaders of God to impress you. I've sat through way too many meetings, and when I get home, I realized that it was on me, that I needed to do something, whether it be physically or even within my spirit, that was just placing a demand on the anointing which has already been poured out. Jesus and God doesn't have to do anything. It's there for you. Just access it. It's like a pizza coupon. You have won a free pizza. You have won the ability to use the anointing of God. This free pizza is yours. Here it is, Gary. What are you going to do with it? Eat it? You're going to go trade it in. You're going to make a step of faith, understanding that this thing, which is written on a piece of paper, which is written on a piece of paper, has value to it. And sure enough, you get there, and to your surprise, they hand you a free pizza. That's the way I was this morning when I stepped outside to go get the papers, and they're handed to me right outside the door here. And the person I was looking for that wasn't in the room was standing right outside there. And then I got another word from another brother, and I'm going, why would I be amazed that God actually heard my prayer? Have you gotten like that? I mean, well, there's nothing wrong, okay, with being excited and enthused about watching God minister in your midst. Because always the anointing of God is fresh and it's new.
Amen, amen.
It's not the same old thing either. And I'm telling you that just keep yourself open, making sure that you're placing a demand. It's like in the morning, do you ask, Lord, please send somebody my path that I can minister to? If you're wondering why you're not ministering right now, just pray that. Pray it every morning. Lord, just give me somebody I can minister to today. And the next thing you know, you've got some sort of ministry. Amen. In John, the second chapter, you can turn to that, please. John, second chapter. Here's where I get all my, quote, Protestant friends. It's like really going at me, you know. I was born and raised a Roman Catholic. And then the first church that I actually really, really started getting involved with was an Assembly of God. And then I got involved in a Baptist church, and they ordained me as a minister. So if you don't think I'm mixed up, but it has served me well, because everybody I saw in each of the places loved our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to judge them. And so when I make the comment, yeah, I hear Mary's voice every day, like, you know, I got some people that are like freaking out. But I don't really hear Mary's voice. What I do is I hear her words. Actually, Mary's voice, she said to those, do whatever he tells you to do. This is verse 5. The words of Mary, Jesus' mother, said, do whatever he tells you to do. That's a sentence I will put into practice every day in my life. Her words ring true. It's on you, guys. You have to do what he tells you to do.
Amen.
Now, let me back up to the first verse here. On the third day of the wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. If I ever said this to my mother, she would have slapped me. Woman. Pow! Woman, Why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. I bet you he said that after he said, Oy vey. That was a joke. You can laugh. There are going to be times, especially after today, because you're going to hear a word, and what's the first thing that comes against the word that you hear and bring into your heart? It'll be tested. And so doubt may be one of them. Fear may be another. And most of it will come from your flesh. It doesn't even have to come from the spirit, or rather, from an evil spirit or Satan himself. Do yourself a favor. Don't give Satan any credit for anything. Till you actually have to deal with a demon-possessed person, which I, on a couple of occasions, have had the opportunity to, you got to understand that when an evil spirit comes to somebody, I mean, it's a major thing. That most of the time, the thing that hinders people, very simply, is their own flesh. And so, don't tell God it's not my time. I was born again and spirit-filled on the same day as Diane was in 1980. That was a few years ago, right? Born again, spirit-filled on the same day. On that day that we prayed, my dad was miraculously healed of cancer. He was told he had 2 months to live, and he lived 22 years after that. My sister had been miraculously healed of a broken neck. She had the break. They took x-rays, and 1 week later, they took another set of x-rays, and they couldn't even find the break. So I was born again into the ways of the Spirit. And when we went to India, we saw a lot of people come to the Lord. And one of the things that part of the ministry that was so blessed for me in India was the fact that after they were immediately born again, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. That we didn't even wait around for somebody to come maybe in another 10 years to tell them who the Holy Spirit is. And they were baptized with evidence in tongues immediately on the same day. And I realized, whew, that's exactly what happened to me. And so it's no small wonder when people almost immediately in a Baptist church were bringing people that were sick for me to pray for. And there was this one guy that had, he was within hours of death from AIDS. And his arms were no bigger than this. Only in India did I see anybody that looked like that. And they brought him in and they put him in the pew. And they said, they came to me and said, we want you to pray for this person. I took one look, and what do you think my first thought was? Yeah, I had to fight that. He's a goner? I said, surprising he's still breathing. That's what actually I was thinking. I was like, is he still breathing? Because he sure as heck wasn't moving. The second thing was, I didn't want to pray for this man. I didn't know he had AIDS. He just said, come pray for him. They carried him in. He couldn't walk in on his own power. And he was about two-thirds of the way back. And I went back. And at First Baptist Church in Kingston, they have wooden pews. And he was laying on the pew. And I went to go put my hand on his chest. And he placed a demand on the anointing. He placed a demand on the anointing. If you're going to hear anything today, you got to hear this. Instead of waiting for my hand to touch him in the chest, he, with every ounce of effort that he could, he went to go put his chest to my hand. And the moment my hand hit him, it was like lightning struck. I know it was not static electricity like you used to do to your sister. It's like you closed your eyes right before I came near your ear with your finger at the nose. It's like you know it. Yeah. Boom. Bah. Oh, my grandparents' house. They keep the house at like 75 degrees. And it's drier than a bone, man. And I could get a flash of lightning about this long on my sister's ear. Get her crying immediately. So much fun. That's the only way I can describe what happened to that man when I went to go put my hand on his chest. And I know that it wasn't my faith at that time, but it was his demand on what he felt would be the only chance he had to live. Within a couple of months, he gained 30 pounds of really healthy weight. And he lived a full year after that. He was baptized at First Baptist Church. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he led many people to the Lord. And then 1 year later, he was suddenly taken from this earth. But he had been telling me, he goes, he was only maybe in his late 40s, early 50s. And he was telling me, I feel like the Lord is going to take me soon. It's like, no, what are you talking about? You're healed. I didn't listen to him. Well, when he suddenly died, I was at my parents' house when I got the message of this. They were living on Long Island at the time. And so I immediately came back from their house. And it was over the Christmas vacation. And it was a couple of days before New Year's. He had been telling me he wanted to be buried under the stained glass window of First Baptist Church in Kingston. Anybody familiar with that church? It's this big stone church on the corner of Colonel Chandler Drive. And he goes, I want to be buried under that window. I said, how am I going to bury you under a window, man? It's like nuts. You can't do that. Well, he's buried there, by the way. He was cremated. And he got his wish. But he led many people to the Lord. Were you there, Mary? Hassan Massad from Yemen. Praise God. To close, I'd like to look at John, the second chapter. Jesus said to the servants, I'm going to back up to verse 5. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. 6 jars. What's the number of the number six represent? Mankind. Fill them with water. What do you think man needs to be filled with? The Word of God. Men are supposed to wash their women spiritually with the Word. Spiritually wash your wives with the Word. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw out and take it to the master of the banquet. So they did, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best to last. New wine represents what? The Holy Spirit. 6 clay jars representing man were filled with water of the Word. And then Jesus said, draw out the new wine of the Holy Spirit out of them. Amen. Because the best is yet to come. Everybody in this room say, the best is yet to come. Amen.